Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is Day 27, The Suffering Servant, based on Matthew 1:21 and Isaiah 53:4-6. And welcome to Friday, following the fourth Sunday in Advent. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Savior, crucified Messiah, help us understand a little bit more of what you did for us on that day on the cross. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' core mission was salvation from sin. Before his birth, the angel told Joseph, Matthew 1:21, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus fulfilled this mission on the cross. Peter put it succinctly in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. To explore this, we turn to Isaiah's amazing prophecy of the suffering servant. This passage is central to a New Testament understanding of the cross. Today, we'll look at only a few verses, but I refer you to where I have written extensively on this passage elsewhere. The passage is powerful. In fact, reading Isaiah 53 was banned for a time in synagogues because too many Jews saw in it the reference to Christ's death on the cross and so converted to Christianity. Isaiah introduces the suffering servant as one who was despised and rejected by men. Indeed, he was rejected by the leaders of his own people, beat mercilessly, then crucified in the most exquisite torture the Romans could devise. At the foot of the cross, his enemies mocked him. Little did they know what was happening there on Golgotha. A divine redemption was taking place that shook the heavenly realms. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew words that translate took up and bore, carried, are used of sacrifices and scapegoats, bearing the guilt or punishment of sin, bearing it away, of carrying a heavy load. Sins are referred to in figurative terms, infirmities or griefs and sorrows or diseases, depending on how you translate it. One of these words suggests mental anguish, the whole sad story of the human race, the pain and suffering caused by sin and death, by wrong choices and out-and-out rebellion. All these were on Jesus that day on the cross. But all the time Jesus is suffering on our behalf, carrying our sins, he is understood by his enemies to bear a just punishment by God for blasphemy. Verse 4, "Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted." No matter whether his crucifixion was misunderstood or not understood at all, Jesus went through it for us, willing to drink the cup necessary for our salvation. Isaiah makes it clear, however, that this wasn't punishment for his own sin, but that he was taking our punishment for sin upon him. Isaiah 53:5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Just as a lamb or goat or heifer was sacrificed as a substitute for the sinner under the Mosaic law, so Jesus becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. In each of the four lines of verse 5, Isaiah makes it clear that the servant's death is to bring us forgiveness and peace. The result of Jesus' suffering for us is expressed in two words, peace and healing. Peace is Hebrew shalom. The general meaning behind the root is of completion and fulfillment, of entering into a state of wholeness and unity, a restored relationship, encompassing the ideas of peace, prosperity, wellness, health, completeness, safety. Whereas we once were in a state of enmity with God because of our selfishness, rebelliousness, and sin, now Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has forged a state of peace by removing our sins from us and taking them upon himself. And the second word is healed. Hebrew rapha, heal, make healthful, often used figuratively of healing and forgiveness. We are essentially broken. We have a fatal flaw, sometimes referred to as original sin or some such. We can improve morally, but then we fall again. Until we recognize our essential brokenness, we can't really move toward healing. Long ago, the 12-step program for recovering alcoholics and addicts of various sorts came to this conclusion, encapsulated in the first two steps towards recovery and healing. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We humans so resist this. I'm not so bad, better surely than most people. I can heal myself. We imagine that we can halt sin in its tracks through force of will, and yes, for a time, we might succeed outwardly. But the inner person, that's another matter. Dear friends, we can't heal ourselves. We need Jesus to heal us and make us whole, and then gradually teach us to walk in his way. The old African-American spiritual puts it this way. There is a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged, and I think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul.
To make sure we understand this, Isaiah summarizes in different words. Verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our iniquity, yes, that's a harsh word, but accurate, has been laid on Jesus. This is what the Christmas angel told to Joseph. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Without the cross, Christmas is the charming story of a baby born into poverty, birthed in a stable, but who rose to greatness, a great teacher and martyr, from poverty to power. Bravo! But only as we understand the cross do we realize that Jesus' most essential role for us is as Savior, the suffering servant who saves his people, you and me, from our sins. Discussion question 27 is based on Matthew 1:21 and Isaiah 53, 4-6. In what sense has Jesus saved his people from their sins? What does Isaiah 53:6 teach us about how Jesus saved us from our sins? In what way is Jesus like a sacrifice for sins? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lamb of God, for laying down your life for your friends, for taking on our sins so that we might not have to bear the punishment. Thank you for redeeming us, for setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, for saving your people from their sins. Amen.